Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One podcast network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you another week of sci-fi news. And this is going to be quite a big episode, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But this past week, Mr. Gene and I, Merlin, I can't record if you're jumping on a table. Sorry. Mr. Gene and I went to see Dunkirk this past Tuesday, and oh my god, for it being a very short film for Christopher Nolan, it is indeed a very intense film, and the Hans Zimmer score did not disappoint. At one point, I'm like, towards the end, I'm like, is that sounding more like Vangelis? If you've heard before, he's going to be working on Blade Runner 2049, which is like, I'm all in with him, because it's almost spot on that if there was going to be ever a replacement for Vangelis, you got your guy, and I'm glad he's helping with the score. The other thing is that while waiting for the movie to start, I got to see Blade Runner, the last trailer, which I did not want to see, and unfortunately, I couldn't get out of it, so The new scene that I saw was the one with Dave Bautista, in which he is in a cabin, and there is a Blade Runner waiting in the cabin, which is like, if you've known Blade Runner or the early drafts, Rick Decker was doing the exact same kind of scene where he was hunting someone down out in like this type of desert situation or a cabin. And he is doing the exact same thing as this new Blade Runner is going to be doing. So I'm like, oh, God. Urgh. I didn't want that to happen. Okay? That was really... It really ticked me off. So, aside from that, I watched Concussion this past week as well. So, not very, you know, light movies in tone. But I was very happy to have, again, this kind of sci-fi mental watching sorbet, because again, every once in a while you need to watch something that's a good story, a good drama that is not really about out of the world fantastical elements. You just want to have something that's a little bit more grounded. So it was a good week overall, so I can't complain, but I do want to give you some news right off the bat. Okay. So before I even get started with anything else, let me say, for starters, I'm going to be taking a brief hiatus from producing the Sci-Fi News podcast segment of the Monster Sci-Fi Show, but I am still going to be producing past shows that I've been neglecting, such as my Versus and my Rewatch series. So in fact, next Friday, you will hear my Rewatch podcast on Ang Lee's 2003 Hulk So that's already done. That's in the can. So for the next week, for the next month, I'm going to be catching up on that. Today I have a something Dark Side, I think, celebration for my birthday, because it's my birthday weekend. So when it's done, it'll be something complete. So whatever that means, I will find out later. So I'm recording this morning, trying to get out very early, because again, this weekend I will not be able to do anything more. And that got me to think about, because later on this month, Mr. Gene and I are going to Dragon Con. So as I mentioned before in a previous podcast, we are going together, and there is going to be an ESO Network meet and greet that's going to be happening on Thursday night at 10 p.m. on the 22nd story bar at the Hyatt. So this is an open invite to anyone who is listening to the podcast. But again, when I look at all that is happening, I decided to take this break. It, something wasn't planning on, but I wanted to relax for the next month or so, just to kind of get myself, again, I love what I do, but I'm the only one that's doing this. And now work is asking for more podcasts to be produced, which is fine. I'm happy for that. You know, we're doing a StoryCorps version, if you know of that, from NPR. Well, we're talking for Spanish Heritage Month. So we're going to have people come to the library and talk about themselves or talk about their immigrant experience or something to that effect. So that's going to be something that's I'm going to be working on as well. So again, I want to prepare for myself. I want to prepare myself for that, but not to be so bogged down that I'm trying to burn a candle at both ends, kind of like Roy Batty. You know how that ended, so I don't want to go down that road. So I'm okay with this. I want to do more stuff, but there's only so much of me to go around. Sorry, folks. So before we get into the big three, a couple of news items that came out. We now see that Josh Brolin is Cable. Alright, he does have the physicality, he has a certain look. But honestly, it doesn't... You know what was bothering me for the longest time? Like, what is missing from him? He has the gun, he has the arm, he has the eye, he had the scratches on his face. It's the beard. The white beard. That was what was bugging me for a while. I'm like, that's what's missing. And the only person that comes to mind who has a damn beard like that is like Stephen Lang from the Avatar movies. So that's who I thought would be a fantastic, perfect, spot-on actor to have for that role. But whatever. He's doing well. He's going to be in the next, four movies for Avatar? And he's the main villain in all of them? It's okay. He can, I think, forgo doing Deadpool 2 as Cable. But speaking of Cameron, he's talking about maybe doing another Terminator movie. And I'm like, Jesus, just leave it alone. I may be one of the few people that actually enjoyed Terminator Salvation. But by the time you got into Terminator Genesis, I was just, this is done. This is completely done. But he's coming with this idea in which, who the hell made the robots to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? So his idea is to figure out that storyline as to how that came to be. So for all I know, it's just some kind of random choice that the robot said, I want that one. And it just happens to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. As opposed to the one that says, I want that one. And it's a girl that looks like Kristen Loken from Terminator 3, who was referred to as the Terminatrix, which was god-awful. So, it's been a spotty record since the second movie, but whatever. I mean, is it really necessary that we explore that avenue? I would leave it more to the books and just leave it that way. Or I was going to say, oh, you could do a TV show. Like, no, you already did a TV show. The Sarah Connor Chronicles, the Terminator Diaries, whatever. So that was 2 seasons on Fox and that was done. And so we're done with that. But, okay, but James, you're busy with Avatar and focus on getting those movies completed. Not seeing another Terminator movie. I'm sorry. Alright. So, this is a rare case in which the big three news items in which I'm going to be talking about happens to be about the exact same subject matter. And that being Netflix. This has been a very weird and rough week for Netflix. So we have Disney saying, I'm putting that mouse back in my house. We're not going to see Disney films on Netflix. But Netflix also purchased Millar World, which is Mark Millar's personal line of comic books that he has written. Has now been acquired. But the other news is also that of the debt that they're carrying, plus Star Trek Discovery and their exclusive rights to air that show outside the U.S., there's some ideas about what's going on with that deal. So, now I'm not going to go necessarily all in order in the way I just spoke, so just know that it's Netflix that I'm going to be talking about completely throughout this episode. So the news came out before, the big news that was that Netflix was $20 billion in debt. Okay, that is a very big number. But what they're doing is what they have to do is to take on debts in order for them to grow. So, with all the contents and all the licensing that they're doing for their programming, for their original shows, they were able to increase their sign-up rates of subscribers 25% over last year. So, you have to compete even more now than you did in the past, where now you have HBO, you still have Amazon, you have Hulu. You're going to have to keep on growing and growing and growing. I don't see how that becomes sustainable at a certain point. But in the name of the game of being a dominant player, Amazon is a perfect example in which it started out with just selling books online. And then it grew. And it grew. And it grew, and it grew, and it has not stopped since day one. And Netflix, if it's going to be one of the big boys, is going to have to keep on doing that. Now, debt is not necessarily a bad thing. You have to look at it as a long-term investment, just like if you're going to college. Unfortunately, many of us have to take out school loans. You're taking on debt. You're going to have to get that education to get more money. And down the road, you can pay off your debts. Without it, you're not going to get further in your life with limited income because of your education. So I'm trying to use that rationality in regards to debt. However, the reported news is that because of the valuation of the company being at $75 billion, kind of offsets the $20 billion down to more like $4 billion. But still, anything with $1 billion is not necessarily something that's going to be something you want to, like, kid around with. And in light of everything else that comes after this, it's kind of worrisome just because of here you are, you planning out your next 5 years. And within 1 week, boom, lots of stuff happened. I'm like, holy crap, this is not necessarily something you could ever control or could ever foresee. Or maybe they did. So, hence why Mark Millard, who is a very prominent comic book writer, he wrote Kick-Ass, he did Wanted, and of course those are now movies. He has a whole line of comics called, in his universe, I guess, Millar Worlds. And as I was doing some research, I was thinking, well, you have Disney, who bought Marvel. You have Warner Brothers, who bought DC. Well, are there other comic book properties? I didn't think about Millar World. I was thinking more like Valiant. Lately, they've had a resurgence in their comics and their properties. In fact, I think two movies are being produced for within another five comic book titles. So I'm like, that might have been an interesting choice to go with. But Millar World is something that I wasn't really... I had to do research on Millar World. I really did. So I'm looking at the titles. Of course, as I mentioned, Hit Girl, then there's Wanted. And of course, Kingsman. I left out Kingsman. Which, okay, we're going to get that golden circle. I'm really kind of concerned about how they're going to bring back a certain character. But I'm getting off the topic here. Okay, so there is an extensive amount of books that he has written. And the one thing that caught my eye when I was reading, you know, little blurbs about that was on his website, he said all these titles are kind of connected, but you would have to read them all. Huh, so is this going to be the MCU, the DCEU, the MWCU, the Mark Millar World Cinematic Universe? That will be interesting. Considering that, and this is rolling into, Disney is leaving Netflix to start their own streaming service. So, not that watching Disney movies is a big deal, but what Disney's now doing, they're also going to be now another player into the streaming service. So they're taking all their toys and then they're going to make you pay for it. Which I'm really frustrated to begin with when I have downloads from Disney that I can only stream from the app, as opposed to all my other digital movies, either on Vudu or on Flixster Video, which I can stream, I have to do a separate app just for Disney. So, not happy about that, but in any case, that's what Disney wants to do now. So, as such, they're taking all their stuff, not right away, but I think up to 2019 is when the dust settles. And it makes sense for Disney to do this just because of what they're doing to their parks, the amount of movies that are coming out. It just has to be something that it works for them. Now, I watch Disney through my Hulu TV app, and I'm cool with that. But I don't see myself being of the mindset that I have to go to Disney and watch all the stuff that I want as a destination. It's not a platform that I would think that would work on its own, but given the comparison between, let's say, Disney and CBS, you have a new series like Star Trek Discovery, and you're pinning this new expectation on that to kind of help boost that streaming service, Disney is in a better situation because all of its content is worth whatever dollars that they want to produce. But for me, I won't go down that road because I already own this content. And if I see it, more than likely, I'll watch it in the movies and then buy it on DVD and then I'm good to go. So there has to be more than what I've already owned for me to watch or even buy Disney. But on that same note, let's go back to CBS with the All Access situation. There was a video that I came across in which talked about how Les Moonies, I think that's the guy, talked about how he really wanted to have Star Trek Discovery, plus now that the NFL that's coming up, to be this big boost to CBS All Access. But what also worked in his favor is that he gave exclusive rights to Netflix to carry this show outside the US, in which the license that Netflix paid really covered the cost of the entire series. So that cost is not on CBS. There's nothing of a risk situation on CBS's part, but the situation that I've been hearing about what is going on with Star Trek Discovery is of concern. There are problems on the set, which is like, we always hear problems. That's not unheard of. But we're at the point in which Brian Fuller, who was the original producer, was thinking about making Star Trek Discovery into kind of like an anthology series, like American Horror Story. Each season is going to be different, same players-ish, I guess, but a different point in the timeline. The problem lies is that the official word was that he left because he was busy doing American Gods, but later on, I think within the past couple of weeks, things rubbed the wrong way. So, as the new production is heading out, and the stories are coming out about what's going on behind the scenes, we may not get more than a season worth of Star Trek Discovery. So then there was another talk about Nicholas Meyer, who was a great director, who is now part of the cast, but if you know Nicholas Meyer, he did Star Trek II, he did Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. He also is planning to replace Star Trek Discovery, that if it does fail, with another Star Trek series, which is going back to the anthology concept, except this is going to be a little bit different. This is focusing from what I, this is just a rumor, on Khan. So you would focus on, I guess, that storyline. So if they do that, again, no, it's a win-win for CBS, but for Netflix, if the rating sucks and there's no more seasons after that, then they paid an extreme amount of money for crap. So that's also a concern for Netflix. No longer having Disney, which I forgot to mention, for right now, we are getting still Star Wars and Marvel. And we'll see if the current discussions will keep it at Netflix until, let's say, Avengers Infinity War or Ant-Man and the Wasp or Avengers 4, whatever that is, we'll see if that still will happen. But for the majority, the Disney movies will all go. The Netflix Disney series like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, now the Defenders, that also is in doubt as to what will happen in the future, if it's going to be retained, if it's going to be even more. There was talk about another couple of seasons for a couple more characters, for second and third seasons, but after that, would Netflix lose all that? I don't know. So, with all said and done, Netflix could have had a better week, but this seems to be like a perfect storm of things. That's going to be basically it for me. Let me know what you think about what's going on with Netflix, if it's something that Netflix should be worried about. Are you concerned that they're going to raise rates to watch Netflix in the future? I think they will be, but in any case, if Netflix will, like I said, continue to grow like it has been, then this is nothing but a bump in the road. No big deal. It will weather this. All right, so that's going to end this podcast for this week. Remember, I'm not going to be around for a while, so look for me around September 15th. Hopefully, I will have more podcasts down the road, including stuff that I'll hopefully record when I'm at Dragon Con with Mr. Gene. So you can always email me or follow me on the various social networks. So again, thank you very much for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.